5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's where we get to the lunch rush. Take a look at some of the top stories trending in the sports world nationally. Let's get to this weird story first. I decided to keep this one in just now, Angel, because it's funny. Sacramento Republic filed a complaint with the U.S. Soccer Federation alleging that an Orlando City SC staffer was spying on its training session ahead of Wednesday's U.S. Open Cup final, multiple sources told ESPN. ESPN television analyst Taylor Twellman was the first to report the news of the staffer's presence at Sacramento's practice and that the U.S. Soccer Federation, which runs the tournament, is aware of the situation. Was it just Bill Belichick dressed up?
It's the Spygate again.
It was just Bill dressed up, wasn't it? Probably. I mean, come on. We know what it is. That's exactly what was going on. Weird story. What are we doing here? Send a spy over. See what they're doing. See what play they're running. How do you think in this day and age that's not getting out? That's getting out there. Everybody has cameras on them at all times. Just remember that. Survey shows 46.6 million Americans plan to bet on the NFL this season. A record. Wow. 46.6 million Americans will bet on the NFL this season. Up 3% from last year, according to survey results released Wednesday by the American Gaming Association. Do you play fantasy football, Angel? You in on that?
No.
I'm not really into it. I used to play it. I never got that into it. Does it seem like fantasy football has taken a dip because of gambling? People are more like, you know what? I'd rather just put money on a game rather than worry about guys individually needing to perform every week. I'm curious. I'd be curious to know if like fantasy stats or fantasy subscriptions or whatever has gone down a little bit. I was just randomly thinking about that.
I think fantasy has changed the perspective of fans and how they watch the game. The guy's not good if he can't put up fantasy points. Like, come on.
I know. It does annoy me. It does. People get annoyed by that. It's like, dude, the games go different ways. It's a team sport.
I care less about a fantasy point.
Yeah.
I want real points.
Yeah, real points. Speaking of real points, Brian Kelly needed a real point to tie the game and go to overtime. That was the weirdest game, dude. I mean, LSU's in, they're out. They're in, they're out. Oh, my gosh. They drive all the way down the field. 45 fumbles later, they get to the one. They score a touchdown with 1 second left, like the two or three.
After the 10-minute review.
After the 10-minute review, it took forever, but they finally get a touchdown. We're going to overtime. No, we're going to block the kick instead, and it's going to hit the uprights. Brian Kelly in his press conference, he was kind of mad because reporters came into that press conference and they were late for the press conference. Here's what he had to say to him.
That will open it up to this late arriving media crowd that must have enjoyed the weekend. That's usually $10 that we put in the kitty. We'll have a big bash at the end of the year at my place. But I don't think it has anything to do with winning. I think it has to do with being on time.
If you couldn't hear the reporter saying, maybe if you win,
ooh,
I'll be on time.
Ooh. Okay. Originally, like, I heard you read it, and I'm like, that's kind of funny. But it is disrespectful if you're late for a press conference. If you're going to be late. And then for her to respond, You're paid to report on the games, wins or losses.
Maybe, unbiasedly.
Maybe even more so on the losses because people read your stuff more. That was a little silly. Listen, and I'm not a Kelly fan, but that's ridiculous, dude.
He's had a tough week.
It's unprofessional. It is. It's unprofessional to go that route. All right, so Emmanuel Sanders is calling it a career. He's going to retire as a Denver Bronco. Emmanuel Sanders, one of the stud receivers in the Peyton Manning era. It makes sense. He's going to retire as a Denver Bronco. The only other team I thought about was Pittsburgh. Obviously, that's where he was before he came to Denver. But it's obvious. Look what he did with Denver. In, what, 4 or 5 seasons, he had 1,000-yard seasons. One of those was a 1,400-yard season. 9 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns. I mean, he was a heck of a football player for the Broncos, and it was in that Peyton Manning crazy time of our lives. But good for Emmanuel, man. He's a heck of a player. Is he a Ring of Famer? Clearly, we're not even talking about HOF. But is he a Ring of Famer for the Broncos? If Ed McCaffrey wasn't, it's hard for me to say that Sanders would be.
I agree with that. Obviously, he had a couple really good years. It kind of helped out that 2014, 2015 stretch where you had that really good offense in 2013, but you needed some guys. You lost Wes Welker. You lost Eric Decker. So you bring in Emmanuel Sanders. Him and Demaryius just torched the league that year. And, you know, tough year, bittersweet almost, losing, you know, lost Demaryius Thomas earlier this
year.
That was tragic. And then being able to retire Emmanuel Sanders as a Bronco, I think that's pretty cool.
It's weird that I was shocked when I heard you say that he was retiring as a Bronco. I thought, really? I mean, he's been all over the place, but not really. I mean, Pittsburgh for four seasons, and he had good years with them. His last 2 years were really good, you know, and that's when the Broncos thought this guy would make perfect sense for what we're trying to do. And then he was with the Broncos for what, 5 years? Five seasons, so he spent more time with the Broncos than anybody else. He had a year with the Saints. He had a year with the Bills. He was fun to watch, too. Like, he was electric. Emmanuel Sanders, is he... Okay, we were having that fun debate last week, Angel. Like, name a random nugget. Is Emmanuel Sanders a random Bronco? And again, the parameters, the rules of this contest, great players are not random. They don't have to be terrible, but they have to be notable. Is he notable without being great? Is he a random Bronco, or do we go back and say, no, he was one of the studs. He was one of the really good Broncos. Maybe not great, but really good.
I wouldn't say random. Obviously, with the success he had, he got a Super Bowl out of it, so he was a contributing factor that season into the championship. So I wouldn't say random. Maybe in like 20 years, you say Emmanuel Sanders, like, oh, I remember him.
Yeah, he was good for a little bit.
With Denver, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a little above that. He was
at the time. He was very good.
He was like, I mean, he was putting up numbers where you'd go, man, he's putting just in, you know, these individual seasons, he's putting up just as good of numbers as we saw some of the great wide receivers for the Broncos do, you know, with like Rod Smith and such. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. If you want to chime in, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, do you have any issues with Bradley Chubb being named a captain? What are your thoughts there? Dixon texting in earlier. Okay, so we were talking about CSU Michigan a little bit. And I like the text because I disagree with it, obviously. It's Dixon. He says, I guess what I don't understand is your coaching staff thinks air raid is the best way to win and going to be your scheme and philosophy. How do you not employ it in a game? If you say it's because you don't want future opponents to have film on you, then you are basically saying, we didn't think we could win this game, and it didn't matter, and we just kind of gave up and went through the motions. I don't think Jay Norvell would ever say gave up and went through the motions. But in college football, this is another reason why I like the NFL more, you do have these games where what was the goal for CSU in this game? The real goal. Don't die. Don't get
stay
hurt.
Stay healthy.
Because this game, in the grand scheme of things, means nothing to what we're trying to do. You're not going to win that game. And this is why in the NFL, there's no such thing as this. You might have Jacksonville take it on Tampa Bay. There's part of your brain that goes, maybe, who knows? This game, no. Nobody's picking CSU to win this game. Barely picking them to cover 30. That was the debate. Do they cover 30? And it was a debate. We went back and forth on it. So this wasn't, no, Jay Norvell's not going to say gave up. I talked to Clay Millen a little bit over the weekend. And, you know, this was a completely different opponent. Maybe 5 years, a couple years from now, maybe even a year from now, you could say, yeah, they would be comfortable putting up your four air raid style against Michigan. They were trying to get out alive, man. They're not going to put Clay Millen back in shotgun and pistol by himself 90% of that game to be left to the wolves that are this monster defensive line with Michigan. Because that's the last thing you want. If Clay Millen would have broke his leg or got hurt and was out for the season or six games, don't you think the rhetoric would be much worse this week? Wow, why did you do that? Run the ball. We knew that was going to happen.
certainly it was a game that you knew you probably weren't going to win. You didn't have a chance at winning all that much, but it's a game that you had that mentality going into it, and so you can walk away from it saying, all right, we knew that this was going to be the way it was, but we still did some good things out there. I know Norvell in his post-game thing, he was saying that he was so proud of his team and the way they competed, the way they fought, and you got to look, it's first-time head coach, or not first-time head coach, first
but with the new team, new program.
New offense, new quarterback, new players, everyone's kind of just, it was their first run-through of what a game looks like with this team. What does the sideline feel like? What does the coaching interactions look like during timeouts and stuff like that? So that's stuff you have to get adjusted to, and it's tough in that environment against that kind of a team. So you just want to get those mental reps, those physical reps.
Mm-hmm.
You go into this week, you're home, you got everything looking forward to it, and now you can just get, you have that routine set, you just go out and do it.
You want to hear some stats, Angel? You want to hear some fun stats for you?
I love stats.
Well, so, okay, and I know you hate Josh Allen, but you can at least...
Hate him.
You hate him more than anybody in the world.
I respect him.
You can respect his game.
I don't like him.
Do you want to know, like, what he did early in his career? I've got some interesting games for you. Josh Allen, third college year, age 20. Okay. His first game, 16 of 32, 189 yards. Or his first year, excuse me. 16 of 32, 189 yards, one touchdown, five interceptions. That was his first year of getting playing time. Derek Carr, Fresno State. These are Mountain West guys, by the way, that are making it in the NFL. 21 of 33, 150 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Carson Strong, his first year, 13 of 25, 89 yards, zero touchdowns, two picks. Clay Mullen, 16 of 20, 137, one touchdown, one interception. So far in his career with CSU. So I just think that that's interesting. Their first career road starts, excuse me, that's what they were. They were the road starts. I didn't mean season. That was their start. Josh Allen was bad. Look at that. Five interceptions. Strong was bad. Carr was bad. I'm not saying Clay's going to turn into any of those guys. The hope is that he's at least a Carson Strong. But this is why Michigan was so important for Clay. Throw him out there. See what happens, but don't get him hurt. Don't get this guy hurt. Michigan's defensive linemen are legit. Jay Norvell specifically talked about their defensive line and how good they were. So and Dixon says it's a loser mentality. What did you want to see? Four air raid, throw eight picks with a freshman quarterback that's 19 years old in his first start? Come on. Your expectations were ridiculous. There's no way Clay's going to go into Michigan, his first start. I mean, what are the chances that he goes in and he's a superhero in that game? Like, one. So you just get out of there alive. You get out, you live to fight another day, and you try to make this season something.
Moral victory or not, you needed to get some tape on yourselves to see how you perform against a top team like Michigan. Now you can take that film, study it, learn what you did wrong, go into this week against the Middle Tennessee team that's not on the same level as Michigan, probably more closer to where you're at, and say, all right, this is a pretty even matchup. Let's go out and do our thing.
Yeah.
Let's go out and do the Fort Air Raid in Canvas Stadium.
Let's do it now. And yes, if they don't do it now, then I'll go, okay, are we not ready for Fort Air Raid yet? You need more time to install that. I'll give you that. Dixon says, he says you play to win the game.
Of course you do, but when you're matched up against like that and you have to be realistic and understand your strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
And it's like, all right, we are probably outmatched. We're probably going to lose this game. Let's just go out and try to play.
And if you can't like be that self-aware, then you're probably in trouble. If CSU deep down, Jay Norvell said, we are better than Michigan today, and then they lost like that, you'd be thinking, Jay, you're delusional, man. You're delusional. It was a great chance to see how a team would defend your air raid. It's not there yet.
Not in week one.
Not in week one, and not against Michigan. It's not about film either. Again, you're just not wanting to open yourself up to injuries and 70-0. I mean, again, I thought CSU might cover. Was I a little kind of bummed that I didn't see a little more from the offense? Sure. But nothing alarming to me. Not at this point. Lose to Middle Tennessee, maybe. 20 minutes after 12 o'clock. Short break coming up. We'll be right back. We'll wrap this one up and send it out to Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan for the Rockies-Brewers game coming up soon. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.